Blog Talk Radio.
I want to welcome everybody to the 110 Nation Sports Show. I am your host, Mr. CJ Sports. Glad to be back in the studio, the Carolina Sports Plus studio, on another Wednesday night. Looking forward to sitting down with my co-host, Mario, and talk all things sports. Mario, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing. Interesting week, but I've been doing. Before we jump into what we got scheduled for tonight, first of all, make sure you guys follow us on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports. Check out my personal fan page, Mr. CJ Sports. Make sure you check out the Carolina Sports Plus fan page, Carolina Sports Plus. Mario, let them know where they can find you, Carolina Sports Plus, the actual location and the webpage as well.
All right. We're located in Rayford, North Carolina, 1318 Highway 401 Business, and you can find us at CarolinaSportsPlus.com.
Yes, I've not checked out their fan page. Make sure you guys go over to Carolina Sports Plus. They do a phenomenal job. A lot of videos, a lot of new products, a lot of price comparison. I like that.
Yes, you guys do that. Yes.
Let everybody know what they're saving. I'm going through you.
Yeah.
Let them know the 110 Nation sent you. Mario, look out for you.
Sure will.
It's been an interesting week. Week one, when we did this together, we had an agenda. And kind of last minute, Tom Brady retires, kind of send the agenda out the window. We get through part of it, which I told you we wouldn't get through a whole agenda anyway. I would just rather have more topics and run out of time versus running out of topics and having too much time. I went to kind of put an agenda together, and then we had another goat. We had a lot of LeBron James that kind of threw a wrench into, even if I would have got a agenda out yesterday, he would have thrown a whole wrench into it, and that's where we're going to start today. LeBron James becomes the all-time scoring person, leader, I don't know what you want to call him, scored the most points than any player in the history of the NBA, passing Kareem last night. What's your thoughts about that?
It was great to see. It was great to see, you know, nothing like seeing history, you know, well deserved. You know, he's definitely taking good care of his body.
And,
you know, he got longevity in him, so, you know, that's always a good thing. But ain't nothing like seeing history. How you feel about it?
One, I was gonna say the same thing about body. It's amazing at what level he can play at his age and what. You would think more players would follow him and Tom Brady and invest into their body and take care of themselves the way, especially those two have. You're talking 20 years plus in each of them. And LeBron still probably got, at least until Bronny plays a year or two in the league until he calls it quits. So it's been phenomenal what LeBron has done. I agree. It's great to be able to see history, you know, and I watch a lot of First Things First with Nick Wright, Wiley, and Broussard, and they did bring up one thing that I thought was interesting, and maybe you know, I don't know if it's just because the record stood for so long or what, but it's not really such a big deal about being the scoring leader. I think LeBron being it was kind of a bigger, you know, kind of made of a thing.
Yeah.
But we know who the all-time passing leader is. We know who the all-time rushing leader is. But they don't really – it wasn't like it was that big of a deal other than the fact it was just LeBron. And then that was I think that was more of hype on either you liked him or you hate him versus if you thought he was the greatest or if Michael was the greatest kind of conversation, not so much about the record itself.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good statement there. I definitely agree with that.
Do you think we'll see anybody in our lifetime top LeBron James?
No. Not, not,
I mean,
not,
it took a long
not,
enough.
Not, Yeah, not in this category, no.
I said it took a long time for the cream to come taken down. So.
Yeah, I was hearing some stats where somebody would have to come in the NBA and play 16 games and score at least 27 points per game without missing a game. In today's NBA, that's not going to happen.
I heard another stat. It was something like 70 games a year, averaging some ridiculous amount for like 20 years or some in order to make it happen.
Yeah. By that time, so, NBA is going to be playing less games.
And you see players nowadays even playing less as it is. Even the younger players trying to preserve themselves and last longer career-wise and season-wise. Your most memorable or best memory you have of LeBron James up to this point in your life?
I would honestly say the block against Golden State. That was real big, because if he wouldn't have made that block, I think they would have lost that championship, and things would look a little bit different, but it would be a little different. So I would definitely say the block against the backboard in the NBA Finals against Golden State.
Before going into mine, do you think if LeBron didn't win the championship at Cleveland, do you think the championship for Cleveland, was that the most important out of all his championships?
Oh, yes, most definitely. That was the most important, just because of his background. And Cleveland, the face of Cleveland.
Like 52-year drought.
Yeah. But he did one thing I can also say, he handled the pressure well. You know, I don't agree with, as far as like, you know, late games and balls and being dominant. You know what I mean? But it's nothing like watching history. But I would definitely say Cleveland, that championship in Cleveland really, really stood out, especially outside of Miami.
Yeah. I think the whole coming back 3-1 is probably my best memory of the whole LeBron. I think it will always be. Every year when it comes back up on my timeline, because, of course, on my timeline when that happened, they had the clips of all the games. I think especially when they were down 3-1, and I think it was Klay Thompson. I think it was Klay Thompson that ran his mouth. It was one of them, and LeBron replied to it in the press conference, and they showed clips of game four, I think five, six, and seven. And they showed the block, and I think there was a couple shot blocks. And they showed the alley-oop that J.R. Smith threw up there, and just how those last three games played out. And, of course, every year I got to watch it before I share it on my timeline. And then also seeing – there's also another one I share, and that's there's two of them. I can't remember the one, but the other one is a WWE event, and it talks about – you see someone holding a sign talking about something to the remarks of Golden State blew a 3-1 lead or something. You can see the sign in the background of a WWE event. So it's always entertaining me. But, that whole coming back for 3-1 will probably be my best and favorite memory. I did get a chance to watch Game 7 in North Carolina. As a matter of fact, we were at the B-Dubs. They're across from Home Depot on Skyboat Road. And a buddy of mine, he happened to be from Cleveland as well. We happened to go catch Game 7. And I didn't know what it really meant. So I was sitting there watching a basketball game in a packed house, and look over and I see another grown man crying because we won a championship. Like, I don't know, maybe with Cleveland Browns win a championship, maybe that'll be something I do. I don't know. It's been a rough ride being a Browns fan, but it kind of hit me like, wow, like it was that serious to somebody. As much as I love sports and everything, I just never looked at it as a level. And I mean, when I watch right now, and I've had an opportunity every year, like I say, share the video. It kind of like, wow, like that was a ride. Like that, you know, it kind of hits a little bit different now that I've gotten a chance to stand back. At that point in time, I think I just didn't want to get my hopes up because being a Cleveland fan and everything to include being overseas and watching the Cleveland Indians losing game 7 to the Florida Marlins and then being part of the drive and the fumble and everything else, like you just learn not to get your hopes up. It's going to be interesting moving forward because now that he's accomplished this, how he carries on the rest of his career. Like now you're the pinnacle. Like people are going to have this debate, and I've stayed away from asking this question because I don't like getting in the debate of who the greatest of all time. I feel that during when Jordan played, he was the greatest of all time. When Kobe brief time between Kobe and LeBron, Michael and LeBron, Kobe was the greatest. Now LeBron is the greatest, and then you can debate because you got an overlap of Giannis and Steph Curry, who you feel, and KD. At this point, you can kind of debate who's the greatest now, and some people still have the argument with LeBron. I think LeBron's maybe a little bit past. There's some nights that he shines like he still could be the greatest right now. I just hate having the argument of greatest all time because the games have changed, the rules have changed, the level of competition, it's just too many things have changed. And we'll never know. We'll never have a Michael in his prime versus a LeBron in his prime. So how can you dictate who is the greatest of all time? That argument always blows my mind. But I'm just kind of curious how he's going to carry himself this point forward. Like, you're fourth all time in assists. You're the number one scorer of all time, and there's other records and other things that he has checked off on his accomplishment list. The only thing really else you could do is just add more championships to your run, and it's not like he can play a full like he did when he's in Miami or Cleveland, full season and to the level. So now it's more of a team thing. It's not so much a him thing anymore. So to what extent, how hard do you try? I mean, obviously, he still wants to win. But also, I think the last box he wants to check off is be able to play basketball with his son. So do you kind of coast at this point so that you can prolong your career long enough to be able to play with Bronny? Are you still going to play at the same level that you've been playing even at this season? Because this season has been a pretty good season. There's really other, like I said, other than, and you're not even in the running for the playoff right now. I think you're what, 13th seed or something. So you're not even actually on the inside. You're on the outside looking in. So to what level do you play at this point? How important, you know, like I said, you're kind of at the top of everything right now.
Yeah. I just don't see him. I really don't see him as far as being out there just coasting. I think the object is to win, you know, at his age, even though they're not winning now. But I honestly believe that's the goal. You know what I mean? I don't really see LeBron just coasting and his numbers just falling, you know?
It's the goal, but at this point, I'm never going to doubt his integrity to the game. But at this point, I really wonder what's more important: making it long enough to be able to play with his son, or putting his body through hell to win championships and possibly not be there to play with his son. Like,
I think his son is on the top of the list. I think he already made that known. You know what I mean? I can say that.
I just wouldn't be surprised if he took an extra night off more than he was planning on, knowing he's done, accomplished all that. Obviously he's not going to stand around twirling his thumbs and not participating. Yeah. But I just question whether or not it's going to be to the same.
I can see
throughout the season. But congratulations to LeBron. Yeah, I was glad at one point in time, you know, the man from Akron was able to bring a championship home to Cleveland. Like mm-hmm. I said last week, though, I'm a fan of my team. So, you know, Cleveland plays y'all and plays LeBron whenever. It's, you know, screw LeBron. That's just the way I am. I am Cleveland all the way. I will cheer for you when you're part of my team, but I'm not going to not congratulate something that probably we'll never see again in our lifetime. And it may never, that record may never be beat again. I don't know. What's that?
You think he's going to win a championship before he retires? You think he's staying in LA if he wins it?
I think he's contracted. I think his contract will stay year to year so he can go to wherever Bronny gets drafted. I don't know if he'll win another one in L.A. I don't know to what – how far Bronny's away from being be able to be drafted and everything else. As the team stands, no, I don't think they win a championship. I think you had a chance to better yourself, and we're going to talk about the trade that happened versus the current situation you're in. But unless they come off some of these draft picks that he's holding on to, the GM, I can't think of his name, save my life right now, kind of looks like Rob Lowe, if I remember correctly. And they make some serious moves in the offseason. I can't see it. To me, Westbrook, it blew my mind that, and this is kind of getting off topic, but Westbrook wins the MVP for doing a triple-double. And the first player since Oscar Robertson to do a triple-double, so you give him the MVP. Then he becomes the only player to win, go two seasons with triple-double, goes back-to-back, but you give the MVP to James Harden, which I'm confused by that because the main reason you gave him the MVP of the year was because of what he did, and he did the same thing, and the only player to ever do it twice, and you didn't reward him with going back-to-back. But he's a shell of that player. He's no longer that Westbrook. Not that I was big on shooting 60 times so you can get a triple-double because you're getting your own rebounds and you're getting, you know, you're bound to put a bucket in there. AD can't stay healthy enough. You just don't have, because of the contracts, the supporting cast that can help you win a championship this year. And so unless some serious moves happen and even possibly someone willing to take some pay cuts, I just don't see them assembling a team in L.A. It's going to take one hell of a miracle run for them to win a championship in L.A. And I just don't see him committing himself to anybody. I don't see him. I think his contract should be 1 year at a time just so he has that opportunity to go play with his son and then be able to call it a career. I will, and I think we talked about this, and I might have briefly talked about it, or we did talk about it. I do, and they brought it up as well when I was watching the show today. I do compliment him for the person he's been off the court with the schools, the school that he built, to never have any off the court issues, never any cheating on the wife issues, never, no, nothing, like a clean slate through, like he has walked the walk. And, you know, I might not agree with everything. And he's the only one that they were talking about this today as well. The only one that's lived up to the hype. Everybody else has always been overhyped and never was able to live up to the hype. And they, you know, he's definitely exceeded the hype, what we thought he was going to do in LeBron or do in coming out of high school. But I do got to compliment the fact that, you know, all the way joining the league, being worth millions of dollars, 18 years old, and be able to walk that walk and not get in any trouble. I couldn't imagine having millions of dollars just laid in my lap at 18 years old and walked. You know, I've not walked the perfect life, and I hardly got money. I couldn't imagine walking a perfect life.
Yeah.
So,
I agree.
So major shout out for that as well. We did have a big trade this last week, Friday, as a matter of fact, and we were going to talk about, you know, the fact that Kyrie Irving wanted to be traded. That was the last thing I sent you, and it even auto-corrected to some other name. Something it might have been Julius Irving's or somebody that they auto-corrected to. Then woke up the next day and he was already dealt to the Dallas Mavericks. Yeah. I tell you what, this to me has been an interesting path for Kyrie Irving. You're with LeBron James. You win a championship. The next year, the next year you could have won a championship, and I forget what exactly. I think everybody got hurt. And I think the year before everybody was – I think we were missing players. We didn't have Kevin Love the year before, and I just don't think we're up to it. We win a championship. Then the next year I think everybody – we had a bunch of injuries, and we still ran it pretty close. And you no longer wanted to be the Robin to Batman. You wanted to be the man. So you go to Boston and you have an opportunity to be the man. You wasn't the man. And so you kind of take a Robin-ish role going to the Nets because you know that KD is going to be the man. And it's even debatable whether or not you was Robin or if not farther down the food chain because you got James Harden.
And with KD KD brought him with him. You know what I mean? To Brooklyn.
That's
crazy.
So now you couldn't handle it in Cleveland being the sidekick. It's debatable. I don't know what goes through his mind because you had the flat earth thing. You had I understand making a stand for the vaccine, the COVID-19 vaccine. I know people on both sides of the aisle, and honestly, if it wouldn't have been for the fact that I had to have my vaccine in order to go to Cancun 2 years ago, the trip that I worked hard for, I don't know if I'd ever got the vaccine. Even though I got it, my store, then my job paid me $150 to get them all, I don't know if I'd have got it, would have or wouldn't have gotten it. Probably wouldn't have got it. I don't even get the flu shots. But I can understand his stance and say, look, you know, this is my body. You know, then you go on this whole anti-Semitic stuff, and I believe it had to do with the Jews and stuff. I didn't get into all that. Which caused the whole issue, and I think he even lost sponsorships, Nike deal or whatever he had. And so then you come out and you look, I'm not leaving my boy KD, this, that, and the other. Then, like, the next day or two, hey, I want to be traded. I don't – Kyrie Irving, to me, and he didn't even play a full season over at Duke. He got hurt, and I was kind of surprised Cleveland even drafted him because of the fact that you didn't get a good sample size of him playing even at the college level. Cleveland took a chance. It worked out great. Boston, I mean, when he played great, but it just didn't work out. And Boston, but to me, Kyrie Irving was one of those players, that probably if he would have just done the path that LeBron did, just played basketball, just put the blinders on, took care of his body, played basketball, probably could have went down as one of the best point guards, if not all time, in at least our era, from when we watched basketball. Easily. He has the skills. He could dribble the ball. He's a good passer. The night he's got to score, he can score. But instead, he's one of those players to me that let every little nonsense, like, why are we worried about the Earth's flat? Like, obviously, you know, like, I don't even know at this point who even believes that. And obviously there's people out there who believe it. But he let nonsense, meaningless stuff distract what he was doing on the court or what, as a player, he could have been. And it's really it's really disheartening because, like, I firmly believe, and I'm not a Duke fan, I was very anti the fact that we drafted him, being a Cleveland fan. But after watching him and seeing what he could do, I'm a firm believer that he could have been one of the greats. And it kind of like he wasted it. Now you go to Dallas, which, don't get me wrong, this year makes you a strong contender. But how long does he stay on the court and play like he's supposed to, not go off the rails? And how long does it take before him and Luka's personalities clash?
You got some breaking news. Lakers about to land D'Angelo Russell and Malik Beasley in the trade that seen Mike Conley to the Timberwolves and Russell Westbrook and a first-round pick to the Jazz.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know Russell Westbrook and Coach Ham got into it last night at halftime.
No, I didn't see that. I was in bed by 7 o'clock last night, so I missed everything last night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they got into it at halftime, and now day after, Russell Westbrook about to be traded. But yeah, that trade with Kyrie, I totally understand that. But he got to come out. We're gonna see how he plays tonight. I'm ready to see. I want to see him play at 10 o'clock. I know that. But he got to come out. It's a contract year. He wants 4 years and a lot of money, so we're gonna see him act right probably for the end of the year. But what happens after? You know what I mean? What happens after he gets his new contract, or what team is willing to give him 4 years? But he hasn't lasted 4 years since when? Cleveland? He made Cleveland 4 years or three? He made Cleveland four, I believe. You know, so now he wants a contract for 4 years, but what team is willing to sign him for 4 years? Now, I want to sign you every year or every 2 years, maybe even every year, just to keep you honest, because I already know something's going to come up. You're going to be unhappy about something. He's going to come to my office and want to trade. You know, so
do you think this was Do you think this was a short term for Dallas, just a fix for this year and hope to make a championship this year? Or do you think they have this year?
He ain't staying in Dallas. You know, even by him going to Dallas, everybody knew he knew. The owner of the Nets knew. Everybody knew he wanted to come to L.A., you know, but just by the Nets, not the Nets owner, just wanting him to, you know, not wanting to go to L.A., you know, so it was kind of spite on both ends, you know. The owner wouldn't let him go to L.A., so he's going to find any other deal that he can get besides the deal in L.A. And then the deal that he wanted L.A. was, say what?
You think the Nets feared the Lakers more with Kyrie Irving than they feared Dallas with Kyrie Irving?
I feel like the owner. I think the NBA too wouldn't want Kyrie just saying he wants to trade, knowing he wants to go to LA, and then he goes. You know what I mean? I don't think the NBA wants that. You know, and I feel like every owner doesn't want that either. You know, because now everybody's gonna want to trade, and I want to play here. You know what I mean? So I'm not obligated to make you happy. You know, I still got you under contract. And I'm still, you know, paying you to live your life. You know what I mean? So it goes hand in hand. But I don't see them staying in Dallas. Maybe they have a good run. But Dallas, I think Dallas is going to need help just because they're going to have to think about what's going to happen when both of them are on the court. You know, Kyrie Irving played Batman before. Yeah, he has to LeBron James. But both of them dribble. Both of them are in
pick and roll. Yeah, both of them want that ball.
You know what I mean? Both of them are in pick and roll the whole game. You know, isolation, you know, they both play isolation basketball, so the ball is in their hands, you know what I mean? So it's just, that's going to be a adjustment.
I know
for sure, but
I know most sure. of – I think most of Luke – or I'm sorry, most of Irving's time needs to be played when Luke is on the bench, because I know that they fall off dramatically while he's on the bench.
Yeah,
so they need to make sure when they – doing that play time. Yeah. There's going to be some overlap, but Kyrie Irving needs to be filling in that gap.
Both of them can. Jason Kidd, I think Jason Kidd understands what's going on, and he's been around basketball long enough, and we both know. Both of them cannot be on the bench at the same time if they're not in foul trouble.
No.
That's just a given. That's just a given right now. If Luka's sitting down, Kyrie Irving's in the game. They may come back in and play together for about 3 good minutes. Kyrie Irving sits down. When Luka gets tired, Kyrie Irving come back in. Luka's going to come in, play a little bit more with Kyrie, then Kyrie's going to go sit down. But on the court, if they're both healthy, one of them has to be on the court at all times. At all times. There's no playing no basketball, and both of them are on the court, all on the bench.
Another topic in the NBA, I want to say is Morant, but I might be wrong. Memphis Grizzlies, there we go, played the Cleveland Cavaliers one day last week. I think it was the last time I did a sports bet game. And I want to say it's Morant, but what looked to be intentional, he said it was, even though he defended himself and said it wasn't intentional, looked like he punched Donovan Mitchell, in the Do you believe it was unintentional, or that looks pretty intentional to me?
He did it right. But their whole scheme of what they got going on and how they play basketball, I feel like they're pressuring themselves a little bit too much, because they're not built like that yet. They haven't won anything. Mm-hmm. They haven't really done anything to really feel like they deserve, you know, the attention or the love or the respect, you know. And how they play is kind of like, you know, you're in Memphis, you know, not saying nothing against Memphis, but we already know how Memphis get down, you know what I mean? But that's how they play, but they're not winning no championships playing like that, but they want the respect of a Golden State. You know what I mean?
It seems like they're getting a little aggravated, and it's getting to be where they're playing a little bit more and more dirty and running their mouth a little bit more.
Yeah.
And they've not solidified themselves, so nobody takes them as they're the Lakers that just won a championship a couple years ago, or take them as Golden State, or take them as, you know, Phoenix, who played up until and lost in the finals. You know, they're just being taken as Memphis, and it's almost like it's pushing a button where, you know, I don't know if he necessarily meant to punch him in the where he punched him, but he definitely meant to punch him. I would say the odds are he knew what he was punching, but
I got one question for you.
Uh-huh.
How do you feel about that L.A. Lakers championship in the bubble? How do you feel about that? How do you feel about a national championship in the bubble at Disneyland and not traveling, no family, no stadium, no nothing? How do you feel like that? How do you feel about that?
I don't think anything less of it. A championship's a championship.
Okay.
I look at it as they had to adapt and overcome a global pandemic. They adjusted better than everybody else. They had the best team. You know, it had to be hard to be secluded from everybody. You had to stay in a hotel. You couldn't have friends. You couldn't have family. There's a lot of things they had to do without in order to play. No fans. You know, and some of these games, that helps change the momentum. One of my greatest memories when it comes to the NBA, and this is going to sound so stupid, but before I joined the military in high school, so it was probably early 90s when it was the original Charlotte Hornets days, when you had Larry Johnson, Alonzo Mourning, Muggsy Bogues, Kendall Gill. To hear that stadium just erupt and to see that Hornet light up, just watching, I wasn't even a fan of the Hornets. Like, it was just insane to me just to see the crowd get into it like they did. not have that. There's a lot of things that, and I know some people discredit it, and I'm going to ask you the same thing. I know people discredit it, but the other teams had the same opportunities, had to go through the same things. That just like when, being a NASCAR fan, if people ask, well, how do you feel about this person winning a race when it was short because of rain? Well, it's still the win. They just strategized themselves to be out front when the rain happened. You know, it took different strategy. You had to make sure that you were out front, so therefore you had to pit differently, or you had to take a chance of running out of gas or not changing tires or whatever the case was, so you could be out front when that caution was thrown and the race was canceled. I feel that there's different things happen in different sports, but it doesn't change my opinion on a championship, especially this one, because everybody was on the same play field. It wasn't like everybody had to go to L.A. and L.A. had their fans and nobody else, you know. Everybody was on the same play field. Everybody had stayed in a hotel. Nobody got family. You know, you were secluded from the world in order to make this happen. No fans, wearing masks, all this other stuff. So I don't know why, and before I continue on, what's your opinion on it? Do you think anything less of the championship? Hello? Oh, where'd you go? Did I bump you? Hold on, you gotta do it again, because somehow you were muted. So did you think anything less of them as the championship?
I'm kind of on the 60-40 of the, I won't say I don't count it, but I'm on a 60-40 on the other end. You know, I understand.
Explain it, because I want to hear this, because I don't understand. So explain this to me.
It's, as far as the traveling, you know, being secluded. I won't even say secluded, because it was just an AAU basketball tournament. You know what I mean? Where everybody knew everybody. Everybody was, you know, going fishing. Everybody was, you know, in the sauna on Disneyland. But it just, I don't know, it just feels kind of off. You know, with COVID, then 3 months, you had two and a half month break in between when the season stops and the season starts back up, you know, no crowd, you know, no pressure. It just feels like, you know, 60-40. You know, it is a championship, you know. It is what it is, but it's just a little iffy to me. Just to me. I mean, everybody got their own opinion, but it's just to me. I'm not.
There's a lot of people in the same boat as you, and it blows my mind. I never, until it was a conversation, I never thought anything less of it or thought anything of it. And I'm like, because I don't know. I just look at it as everybody's on the same play field. The whole brand.
Yeah, but if you get hot in the gym, that's like just going to the gym every day. You're going to the same gym every day. And you're playing in the same gym. And if you get hot one or two games, you're going to stay hot for a while. But everybody, you know what I mean,
everybody had that same opportunity. That's the whole thing.
I agree with that part. I agree with that. That's what I cried out.
Every bit of it was the same for everybody. So, and even the break. I understand there was a break, but that at least let us go into a playoff that, for the most part, everybody was healthy and rested too. So it should have provided the best playoff basketball we got to see, because there should have been hardly any injuries and nobody fatigued at that point as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know, I guess I'm just different. I never gave it a thought. But I'm also the same person that believes that, without a shadow of a doubt, there should not be an asterisk next to Barry Bonds. I'm not going to say I'm delusional anything, but he still accomplished what he accomplished. You're going to tell – and my whole point to the when talking about Barry Bonds, so you're going to tell me that Roger Maris, is the only person that could, at that point in time, or I don't know if anybody's ever done a more 61, other than Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, and Sammy Sosa, that all, well, two of them have come out and said they juiced up, and Barry Bonds has always denied it. So you're going to tell me that Roger Maris didn't do anything special, that he is the only human in the history of baseball that could hit 61 home runs, that the only three people that could beat him had to have juice. Like, I find that just odd that, I don't know, I they ain't test for stuff. We all know that Babe Ruth did cocaine and played basketball or played baseball, so you're going to tell me that there's not a chance that Roger Maris wasn't on something as well, if he's the only one that can hit this amount of home runs?
You do a little cocaine in baseball, you're going to be a lot stronger, a lot faster, you're going to pay a little bit more attention, your adrenaline going to be rushing a little bit more, but it's just, you know how it is.
One more basketball thing, and if I'm not mistaken, the big rival for you took round one. Did Duke and UC did play this last week, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
How'd that play out for your team?
See, I'm a Tar Heel fan. Okay, so
I know.
You know, even though we lost. I can, you know, man.
Oh, you lost? I didn't know the actual results, so that's why I was asking.
Yeah, we lost, but I can honestly say the Duke fans around here still have a lot of get back to do just because of what happened
last year
with us. You know, that's something that you can never take away, you know. As far as Duke fans, that's all you got to bring up. It's just going to get them mad. You know what I mean? Because we can handle losses. Everybody loses. You know, we done lost plenty of times. We done lost plenty of times against Duke. But at the same token, with Coach K retiring the way he did and losing against us the way he did, makes something where championships are good. But what happened to Duke last year is just as good as a championship. And that's gonna stay around a lot longer, you know what I mean, just besides a loss, you know, last week. So that's the way I feel about it. I don't mind losing.
It's an interesting rivalry. Being a Buckeye and having our rivalry with Michigan, like it gets to be intense. I worked in Durham for, I don't know, 8 months to a year. We actually provided food for the Duke when I worked at Brooklyn in Durham. We actually provided their lunch or their halftime meals for half the season, or the pregame meals, one of them, I can't remember. We did their home games for one season. But I spent probably 5 or 6 years bouncing in Chapel Hill, and I was actually there bouncing when I think it was 08 season when Tyler Hansbury and all of them won the championship. That was one of the most insane experiences I've ever got to be a part of. I bounced at a club as a corner of Henderson and Rosemary. It was called PT's at the time. I ended up bouncing about four or five different places. But just the loudness of it, the insanity, the lines up the road and everything. I love Chapel Hill. That was probably my favorite gig all time, bouncing in Chapel Hill.
I was there during that time when they came back and beat Michigan. I was in Chapel Hill that whole day and night, where we partied with them. We went to Dean Center. We saw them bring the trophy in, getting out the bus. So I can definitely say it was definitely a good time around that time, for sure.
Yeah. And Chapel Hill is funny because when they're winning, life is great and bars are busy and business is good.
But when that team is not good, I watched
them lose to Ohio State in the NIT like a year or two later in the NIT tournament. When they're not winning, business is horrible and nobody cares to go anywhere out there.
That's the same way now. And that's how it is now. Just now is Duke losing, Carolina losing, and the Panthers losing. So you already know how it is in North Carolina right now. There's no winning going on right now as far as teams like that.
We did get to it last week, so bound determined we're going to get it to this week. We didn't give our Super Bowl picks for this upcoming weekend. Of course, they got the Super Bowl. We got the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm kind of mixed emotions with this. Because to this point, I don't know if it's the fact that he used to go to Alabama, and I almost dislike, how am I going to say dislike, I almost hate Alabama football program as much as I hate Michigan being a Buckeye. But I know in the playoffs, Jalen Hurts has not impressed me any. I mean, he only threw for, 122 yards or so. He impressed me. But then you've got Mahomes on the other side. I know he's putting on a good front, but I don't think he's 100% at this point either.
He's not.
But I would rather take a injured Mahomes over Hurts. I would probably take an injured Mahomes over almost half the league quarterbacks at this point after we watched what he did last or 2 weeks ago against Cincinnati.
Played a good game.
I know that Philadelphia defense has been on point this year. I know last week or 2 weeks ago the Chiefs defense played on point, but it's not always played on point. Andy Reid is a much better coach. Of course, Kansas City has got the best tight end in the game right now. I know that their top receivers are down. I don't know how questionable they are to return for the Super Bowl, but I know that they took a big hit against Cincinnati because I know Shushu and somebody else went down against Cincinnati and didn't return in that game. But being a betting man that I am, I'm going to take the team with the best coach and the best quarterback because that's your one and two right there. I'm going to take the Chiefs. I just don't see the Eagles. I just don't see it.
No. Well, you take the Chiefs and I'm taking the Eagles. Well, my defense.
Why are you
is,
picking the Eagles?
Everything you said is true. Yeah, everything. Mahomes is good, and Reed is a good coach. They got a good tight end. But I'm taking the Eagles because I like their offensive line, their defensive line, and I like their running game. Now, I think Hurts, I don't think he's healthy, you know, but I'm not an Alabama fan, but I like Jalen Hurts' story. He fits Philadelphia and how they run their city and how he's running their team right now as far as, you know, all the stuff that he had to overcome just to get to the Super Bowl where people believe in him that he's actually there. So, because I remember at the beginning of the season, everybody wanted to trade first-round picks for Russell Wilson to have him in the Eagles. So, I understand the quarterback part, but I like their running game. I like their offensive line. I like their defensive line. I think their corners can handle the wide receivers, and I feel like the defensive line can get to Mahomes and hopefully they can control the clock and, you know, come out with 14, 12, and 13 play drives and keep Mahomes on the bench and see how that goes. Now, if it's a shootout, if it comes out the game and it's 14-3 Kansas City, But if the Eagles come out and it's 10-3 Eagles in the first quarter, second quarter, you know, then it's going to be a little different. But I think it's going to be a good game. But if the Kansas City gets a jump and gets a lead, I think the Eagles are in trouble. But if the Eagles can hold the ball and keep Patrick Mahomes on the bench and keep him third down, you know, the first third downs, and if he goes 1-for-4 on third downs, starting off the game, they have a great chance. So, I'm just going to leave it at that. But I hope it's going to be a good game. Hopefully it's going to be a good game.
I hope so, too. Either way it goes, I hope it's close. There's nothing worse than you only having one game and it's a blowout. Like, both Super Bowls, because I ain't had a dog in the fight in the Super Bowl ever. I'd just rather it be a close game. There's nothing worse than a blowout game, and you only got one game to watch, and it's blowout.
Yeah.
That was kind of what was great about, outside of the Philadelphia game, as well as great about most of these playoff games, except for the 49ers and they lost their quarterbacks, most of the games were close. So they were fun to watch, regardless if you had a dog in the fight or not. Last weekend we had the Pro Bowl. Before I give my thoughts on it, what's your thoughts on the Pro Bowl?
I don't know what football is going to be like in 20 years from now or 10 years from now, but the change is definitely going to happen. I'm not saying they're going to be playing flag football on Sundays 20 years from now, but we really don't know. You know, and how they're playing it is just, I feel like they're kind of leading up to something. You know, but I don't like it. I don't like it, honestly. I'd rather they just say who the All-Pros or who the Pro Bowl roster is. You know, the competition thing was cool as far as the quarterback, you know, throwing at machines or bullseyes. You know, that was good. You know, so, and I used to like what they used to do back in the days as far as, you know, Daryl Green and Charles Woodson racing. You know, that kind of was different and felt good, but as far as an All-Star game or a Pro Bowl, having flags, you know, I didn't watch it. You know, I didn't really sit down and look at it. But it's not my cup of tea, so, you know, I'd rather just go with saying the names and having a skill competition and just calling it a weekend.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
I've not watched a Pro Bowl game, and I couldn't tell you how long. If you want to have a talent contest or, you know, whatever it was called, I forget what you just called it, where the quarterback throws in the moving target or, you know, different drills, even an NBA three-point contest, dunk contest. It'll also go back to the old dunk contest. There's new, you can do 20 dunks and only one of them counts. Stuff is old. I go back to the old ways of doing it. I'm fine with that. But, I know the Major League Baseball at one point in time, I don't know if they changed the rule or not. I think they changed it. But whoever won, that was who got home field advantage in the World Series. I like that. There was a purpose and a reason
like
to win the game.
I like that.
I think the NHL might have done something at one point in time. I'm not 100% sure. I know NASCAR, they pay $1 million to the winner of their All-Star race. So there's a reason to win. I would like to see either you do these little competition things and make it fun because nobody wants to watch. I'm sorry, but when you have the best of the best of the NBA and they're scoring 190 to 200 points each, or the NFL and you're playing flag football, which was a rule they changed this week, which is getting us closer to some way to tackle they're trying to make it illegal, which is getting closer to flag football. If you're going to have an all-star game, if you're going to have the best of the best out there, make a purpose so they actually play. Like, watching film of the old Pro Bowl games where they actually hit each other, and then watching flag football, I like the fact that baseball made a purpose, or NASCAR's made a purpose, and I wish these other sports. I can understand the NFL and the injuries. So do away with it and just do different competition things, make it interesting, passing, field goal kicks, you know, whatever the case may be, and make it an interesting weekend or not have anything at all and just name, Pro Bowl teams or whatever, or who was all defensive teams or whatever. basketball to me has no reason not to. It's not as physical. I understand injuries still going to happen, but have a purpose for the game or do away with it as well. Just do the dunk contest, 3-point contest, maybe have a different kind of skills competition where you got to pass through a tire or, you know, show off your passing skills or something. Just something to have a purpose other than watching the best of the best score 200 points against the best of the best that scored 190 points. Like, there's no point. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no defense. There's no nothing. There's really no. Sean Payton, coach of the Denver Broncos, already said that Russell Wilson's not going to have his personal quarterback coach in the building. Putting his foot down, make some changes. This is going to be interesting in Denver. I don't know if we've seen we're on the back end of Russell Wilson's career or he just got too comfortable. So we're about to see what Peyton, Sean Payton can do with Russell Wilson, if it's time to move on and Denver add a lot of money, or can you turn things around? This is going to be interesting in Denver.
Yeah, it really is. And it has to actually think about it, to be real. It has to work. You know, there's not, you know, they gave up draft picks for Russell Wilson and money, and they gave up draft picks for the head coach. You know what I mean? So I feel like they're going all in. You know, this has to work. You know, there's no getting off of it because it costs too much.
That's crazy to me to hear that, knowing that Sean Payton has been out of the NFL for a couple of years and this Denver Broncos still had to give up draft picks to get Sean Payton from the New Orleans Saints when he's been working for ESPN or whatever, or at least been on the Colin Cowherd and every other show and doing football shows for God knows how long at this point.
How do you feel like even that question? How do you feel about Sean Payton? Is he really a proven coach? You know what I mean? The only title he won was the one with when they was cheating. You know, but besides that season right there, they really haven't done nothing. You know, Katrina really helped them out. You know what I mean? As far as getting them his name out there when they was going through all that, but. You know, what has he really done outside that season? And having a quarterback that Russell Wilson. Go ahead.
But did he really cheat? Just because he put a pound, just because he wanted his defense to hurt somebody. Yeah. I mean, every defense, I'm not going to be delusional. I think this is the only coach that, you need to hurt him. Like you need to eliminate. I am sure that there's been offensive coaches say, look, we need Luke Kuechly or however the hell you said his name for the Panthers on your team.
Yeah.
Hey, we need him to be eliminated. We don't need him to be a problem with our quarterback. Yeah. So I'm not delusional to think that. You got a good quarterback and Drew Brees. It was accurate, but he was also undersized. So to me, that took some game planning on an undersized quarterback. You also got to depend on your receivers being where they're at because you're not necessarily seeing over these 6'6" offensive linemen all the time. For Russell Wilson's benefit, that might be beneficiary because he knows what it's like to coach an undersized quarterback, a more accurate and a better arm quarterback. But Russell Wilson is also more mobile than what Sean Payton was. Not that Sean Payton wasn't, but Russell Wilson's been more mobile. I think it's going to come down to the pieces around those two. As long as Russell Wilson is all in on listening to Sean Payton, I think it'll have to do with the pieces they put around him, receiver, offensive line, that left tackle. That last year, there was a lot of sacks going on. So as long as they can protect – well, last year he was in Seattle anyway. I remember last year. So as long as they can protect Russell Wilson, as long as he's all in on what Sean Payton game plan he comes up with, they may be all right. Because, You don't know what the deal is in Las Vegas at this point because Derek Carr is gone, and we don't know who's going to take over that. San Diego, they got Justin Herbert, but their coach has proven not to get them any further where they're at. And so, really, you only got to overcome Kansas City at this point. And you could win a wild card spot easily in the air. I'm not going to say easily, but you should be able to because, look, the AFC South is usually one team – usually one team wins it, and Jacksonville won it when it wasn't that great of a record. The North is your biggest battle because usually Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Cincinnati are usually all neck-to-neck running and take a wild card or spot or two. And then your East, right now, none of those teams really stand out in the East. New England doesn't stand out. The Jets don't stand out. Miami, I think they're the ones that won this year, or maybe not. They don't stand out, and I forget who else is even in the East right at this moment, top of my head. So, I mean, you have a legitimate chance, if not taking that division, getting in a wild card spot, as long as everybody is all in and everybody kind of falls into line with Sean Payton wants.
I can agree with that. That's a fair assessment.
All right, before we jump out of here, as we hit the 9 o'clock spot, the lady in the ear keeps telling me, I want to make sure that, make sure you guys are checking out Race Chat Live every Tuesday night right here on Race Chat Live. If you missed it last night, they talked about Austin Dillon and his 90 porn star mustache, Ron Jeremy, weed in the Coliseum, Kyle Busch packing in Cancun. There was a lot of things they got into last night. So make sure you guys check out Race Chat Live. I seen that. Race Chat Live, Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock. Make sure you guys check that out. Make sure you guys check out our site. If you missed any of the shows, go to www.the110nationsportsradionetwork.com. It's got all the shows on there. It also can send you to whatever link. Say you use iHeartRadio, Spotify, whatever app you use to listen to podcasts, you can just click on the tab, send it there. It'll send you there, and then you can follow it there or like it there or whatever, so that way it'll notify you there, and you can just catch it on whatever app you use to listen to different podcasts. You guys can follow us on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports. You can follow my personal fan page, Mr. CJ Sports. Mario, let them know where they can find your store, your page for it, and where your website.
You can find us in Rayford, North Carolina at 1318 Highway 401 Business, and you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Carolina Sports Plus and on the website at carolinasportsplus.com.
Had another wonderful time tonight right here in the sports Carolina Sports Plus studio. Glad to have a new home in the Carolina Sports Plus studio. Looking forward to be sitting here next Wednesday night talking about Super Bowl. I'm talking about how the Kyrie Irving trade worked out amongst many, many other topics. 8 o'clock next week, Wednesday night. Make sure you guys are here. Until next time.